Welcome back to the Spotcasters. I'm Andy Samuelson from KUSports.com, and I'm joined once again this week by the OG of Spotcasters, Tom Keegan and Kevin Romrey.
They're back. OG. I agree.
We'll talk about you guys' trips and what you guys did over Thanksgiving break there.
Nobody cares about that. They do care about the game we were at.
Let me go on the record.
Night.
I do care about. I hate Tom Keegan.
You hate me?
We had
it's good to be hated.
An hour long conference call.
Yeah, when I was on the beach.
Yeah, when he was on the beach. It was about 38 degrees here. We were on a conference call, multiple lines and one phone. And I remember hearing the phrase, "Hey, guys, I got to get underneath this palm tree. I need some shade."
Yes, that's right. And it was the honest truth. I just
I'd
keep you updated
honesty.
With a little play-by-play.
Enough with the honest.
Well, they haven't beaten a good team yet. Hawaii over here. Either way, they've losing tight games to good teams. Arizona not so tight, but they lose to Arkansas in a tight one, and last night they lose to Nevada in a tight one. And then the story becomes later, once it's plastered all over ESPN2, I'll tell you, I was on a radio show in Nebraska today, Omaha, Nebraska, and they asked, "Do you think Joe Dooley's going to get fired?" That's a little extreme.
A little harsh.
Romrey, why don't you set the scene
on
what exactly happened?
And it's funny because you and I talked last night after the game, and we talked about it and this and that, and not many people saw the exchange. I guess a lot of people in Nevada maybe originally had seen it, and that's how this whole thing got started. But no questions last night after the game about the situation with Coach Dooley or any of that. I didn't even know there was a situation, to be honest with you, until I got up this morning, saw it in the journal world this morning. You guys had a quick thing on it, and then I checked my email, and we get statements from head coach Bill Self and assistant coach Joe Dooley that arrived on my email at 12:55 a.m., which means Chris Tyson had a very late night last night. I said, what are these statements for? We apologize for misrepresenting the University of Kansas, da-da-da-da-da. So then you start going back for the post-game incident that was caught on TV. Well, of course, we're TV, so we've got the post-game incident, and it's only about a two-second clip. You've got to pay attention, but apparently Nick Fizika said something that fired Coach Dooley up. And he said it right at the time those two guys were going to shake hands, and that's when the fireworks
but
started.
But he did not say it to Joe Dooley.
No.
He said something
that offended Joe Dooley.
Right. So then Dooley said a two-word combination you ought never say on national TV, certainly. Last night, we got word of this. Gary Bedore did, so he went up to the coach's office, got a no comment from Self. And then once the coaches realized what the situation was, they came out with the apology.
They realized this was a little bit more serious than just nobody seeing it.
Yeah,
because
exactly
It's on the internet today. I've seen it a couple places. You said message boards that have nothing to do with Kansas are talking about this.
Right, the Marquette message board's talking about it. And Joe Dooley is the assistant coach to Bill Self. There's no loyalty in sports like that between an assistant coach and a head coach in Division I college basketball. It's just the fact of the matter. They are very close, always, the head coach and the assistants. And so he's going to defend Dooley. And whether there'll be any disciplinary action, a game or two, whether he'll have to call Fizikas personally and apologize, who knows? But this guy in Omaha asked me, is Joe Dooley going to lose his job? Let's not get carried away.
Well, your thoughts on the situation. Should anything been done, and how does this make the University of Kansas look?
Well, the problem is when you are the University of Kansas, you've got to be, particularly in basketball, you've got to have everything buttoned up because you're such a target, too. I mean, everywhere else, KU comes into these arenas and beats them and shuts up their fans. You can't give them any ammunition because they're just waiting for any ammunition. But I don't think it's a huge deal. It just looks awful when a guy scores 35 points and then you pin that
and
on
you
him.
Lose
it
at
makes
home.
You look like a sore loser.
And you lose at the buzzer like what happened last night. There was enough complaining going on anyway with folks that thought there was a foul. So you add that into the mix with then, you mentioned it, makes you look kind of like a sore loser.
Right, and it really wasn't the loss or the fact that he lit them up that set Dooley off, certainly. Something happened. Could it have been back to when Bell, the 7-footer, shoved Mario
Chad
Chalmers?
Bell.
He may not have liked Fizikas' reaction to that. Maybe he heard Fizikas say something to Bell and was holding on and waiting to say something to him at the end of the game. But
and
if you
knows?
Got that much time to think about it, you got time enough to calm down.
And the bottom line to me is he's the adult in this situation. Fizikas, no, I don't care what he said, that was not appropriate in any circumstance in that setting at that time. If he had a problem with something that he said, fine, pass it along to Coach Fox after the game when you're talking to him. Pass it along to administration at another time. But that was just a situation where you're hot under the collar as soon as it happened, and one little thing before you could,
right.
before you could think about it. There's no way that it was a situation where you had time to think about it and say, when I get him after the game,
so
I'm
going to
give him a piece of my... That didn't happen.
Yeah.
That was a spur of the moment, which we've all gotten caught up in that, but when national TV cameras are rolling, you got to pay attention.
And speaking of Coach Fox, I didn't care for his demeanor last night from Nevada, the coach. And it's Nevada, not Nevada. People from Nevada get very upset
Do
when
they
you say Nevada. Much like people from Gonzaga get upset when you say Gonzaga. And
well,
they
you
say,
should.
It's not the Zags, it's not the Zags.
It's not the Gonzaga Zags.
But he was obnoxious, didn't you think, Fox?
You know, it's a big-time game for him. His kids are in this game. I didn't see anything obnoxious from him on the sidelines. I saw him get fired up a couple times. He obviously went after the officials on a couple of occasions. I would have gotten fired up, too, in that one situation where the officials momentarily just awarded 2 points to Kansas when Christian Moody got fouled. It should have been a two-shot situation. The official came up, said just one shot, and they were going to give him a bucket. Ball never got above the rim. It didn't go in. They put the 2 points on the scoreboard because that's what the officials had told the scorekeepers to do. Greg Gurley and I, when we were doing the game last night for the replay, you know, we're on the opposite side of the court, Tom, next to you.
Right.
We're trying to figure out what just happened here. Christian didn't score. He got fouled. He should have two free throws. They did finally figure that out, but Fox went crazy on that, and I don't blame him for that.
Yeah.
I would have gone a little bit crazy, too.
Because if, let's say, they didn't get it right and the game goes on, then there's no turning back. So.
And how big is 2 points now that we know the final score?
Pretty,
that turned out
pretty,
to be a little
pretty big, as Larry David would say.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of crazy, Self seemed pretty upset himself. He ran off to the court kind of looking for the foul there. What do you guys think? Was there a foul? Should there have been a call?
Well, Romer, you've looked at it over and over again. What do you think?
I'm a situational guy. Unless there is a blatant tackle in the final 5 seconds of a game, I'm one of these people that say, hey, let it go. I've watched the replay of that 10 times today, and I've got no problem with it being a no call. Did C.J. Giles get hit? Yes. It was on his elbow. It wasn't a real
shooting
hard
elbow?
Block. Well, he had two hands on the ball when he was going up. I believe it was his left elbow and forearm. Fizikas put his arm straight up. He wasn't swatting at it or trying to block it. Both of their forearms were, like, you know, up against each other. Nobody slapped his hands. Somebody actually, it looked like to me, I think it was
somebody
Sessions.
From behind,
Ramon
right?
Sessions actually got a piece of the ball going up behind CJ, and it knocked the ball a little bit out of his hand where he didn't have a great grip on it anyway. So I have no problem with the way it was called. And
does CJ make the two free throws? If it is called, that's another thing.
The official saved CJ the sweating it out of going to the free throw line.
That would have been interesting.
That's not the guy you'd pick to go to hit two free throws to send it to OT, is it?
Not the guy
him?
You would pick.
I'm pretty
I'd
sure
pick
when
Mike
Chalmers. I'm pretty sure when Chalmers got injured, coach didn't put CJ in to shoot his free throws.
I think you're right about that. Or
Jeff
Sasha.
Hawkins. Yeah.
You know, speaking of Jeff Hawkins, though, I just don't think that Bill Self can continue to go with these two small guards. And after looking at last night's game, I bet he won't for much longer. I bet he'll go with Brandon Rush in the backcourt with one of the three small guards, and then Micah Downs is a small forward. Why wouldn't you do that? I mean, I think it's time to do that.
Especially Micah, you know, steps up there and hits a clutch three after being on the bench for much of the second half.
His shots were clutch last night. He scored the five in the first half. He did the first time we've seen him put it on the floor and go to the basket. He banks it in for two. That was a big-time situation. KU had not had any scoring. 2 minutes later, no Jayhawk has scored. He knocks down the three, and his reaction after that three told me that he needed to play more because he, for the first time this year, was in the game. He gave it the biggest fist pump I've ever seen. Then he gets another chance down the stretch, lets it fly in the most critical situation of his young Kansas career, and he flat buries it with the best player on the other team in
running
his face
at him
before he lets it go.
Right. And with him on the court last night, I was charting it. With Downs on the court, I had it in the column. It's something like KU was plus 11, and with him on the bench, they're minus 13. Got to play this kid. Hey, does he have some defensive mental lapses? I'm sure he does, but you get through that with experience. Those will decrease. They don't score enough. They need all their scorers on the floor. He's their second-best scorer. Put him on the floor.
And at this point, I'd rather have a guy in the game that's young, that is learning, rather than a fifth-year senior like Jeff Hawkins. He's had plenty of chances, Tom. We talked about this yesterday. Last night, his numbers, 2-for-9 from the field. What's he really in there to do? Knock down threes? Well, he was 0-for-4 last night. So on the season, he came into last night's game 3-for-16 from the field, 3-for-13 from long range. Add the 2-for-9 and 0-for-4 for that. Plus, he picks up a couple of cheap, dumb fouls in the backcourt that he had no business getting in doing. If you're going to have a guy making those mistakes, make it a freshman.
Yeah, you're right. He's shooting 20% from the field. I mean,
which is what he's done his whole career. Last year's numbers were a little bit better, but, Andy, you've seen it. He's known for, what, two or three games?
Yeah.
Not a season, not a stretch even.
Good energy guy off the bench. That's what he is. He's an energy guy off the bench. The problem they have right now is all three of those guards, Russell Robinson, Jeff Hawkins, and Mario Chalmers, are all referred to as combo guards. You know what combo guard is a euphemism for?
Can't find a spot for you.
Shooting guard. That's what it's a euphemism for. It means you're not yet a point guard. Chalmers can become a point guard temporarily because if Sherron Collins passes his ACT test, he's running this team, and Mario will be a shooting guard.
And it looked like Chalmers there last night was becoming pretty aggressive, too, until he had to go out.
Yeah, and he didn't have any option but to have Hawkins out there, or at least Hawkins or Robinson, one of the two, once Chalmers out. But I agree. I thought Chalmers did look good and aggressive. He's still not hitting his shots, but you get the feeling that he has a better chance to hit the shots than Russell or Hawkins. It seems that way to me.
It looks
anyway.
Better when he lets it go.
Yeah.
Anyway. But you can see where he's making progress. You can see where I think Mike is making progress. Brandon obviously has been great from day one for this team.
Player.
I mean, he's gone after this year, isn't he? He's gone. There's no way he's going to stay. NBA drafts on potential. Not on the player you are, on potential.
Yeah, the only thing NBA scouts are concerned about with Brandon Rush, it's not his defense because they know that'll get better. It already has gotten
it's
better.
The NBA.
It's his left.
Defense?
No, they play great defense in the NBA.
No, I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan.
Great defense in the NBA. That's what separates a lot of guys from being pro players or not. They're just not either quick enough, strong enough, or driven enough.
Outside of Bruce Bowen, who plays D?
I'm telling you, that's a big fallacy. NBA, they play defense. But his left arm, Brandon's, is not nearly as strong as his right arm because of that gymnastics injury when he was 10 years old. It wasn't set properly. The bone popped through there. And you'll see him get stripped. You'll see him drop balls when he's going up. And it's because he doesn't have the same strength or even full extension, I don't think, on that left arm. So that's a concern. How much better can that get? But we're really nitpicking here because even without that, he's an NBA player.
Next year.
I'm afraid you may be right, Mr.
I'd love to. I hope he stays here, I'm one of those people that thinks you should stay in school a little bit longer, but I've watched him for three games now here at the Fieldhouse, four games, whatever, with the exhibition games, and as advertised, better than I expected him to be.
CJ, on the other hand, I mean, I fear that he'll jump to the NBA and that he'll get drafted on potential. That's ridiculous. He needs more polish.
Sasha's a better player right now. Never in a million years had you told me when the season started that Sasha Khan would be the leading scorer on this team and the go-to guy in the paint as a sophomore. I would have laughed at you. But that guy has worked harder and done more in the offseason. He went to the camp, the big man camp in California.
Pete Newell.
He's been fantastic.
Which makes you wonder about Darnell. You know, Self talks about Darnell improving. Well, maybe he's improved a lot, too. I know he's not the same guy as Sasha. He's not as tall. He's not as much an offensive weapon. But it'll be interesting to see, when he comes back, how much he can help, because Moody really is better as a starter than a reserve, but there's no place for him to start on this team.
Well, not to start, but CJ will pick up fouls very quickly. So minutes are out there. I mean, CJ last night only played 25 minutes, picked up four fouls.
Always.
I mean, he's a foul machine, and a couple
of
them were dumb.
How many assists for CJ last night?
CJ Giles' assist last night. Take a guess.
Zero.
That's a good one.
Oh, wow. Imagine that.
Did have three blocks, though. He's not in the game long enough.
One of those blocks is still going because it went right through the wall of the field house, and it's still going.
Still going? Well, he ended up getting the block on the other end, and that one's done. Nick Fazekas.
And so are the Jayhawks at 2-3.
First time since 1972.
1-3 versus Division I opponents. Chaminade. Yeah. That win doesn't count.
And they'll get to 3-3 tomorrow, and what are their three wins against?
Chaminade, Idaho State, and Western Illinois Leathernecks tomorrow. And maybe
long
Mario,
way to go, though. Long
Mario,
to
day
go.
To day. Will he play tomorrow? We don't know.
It was a toe injury, actually,
yeah.
Wasn't it? That's what Coach said last night,
yes.
And that's the last we heard. And
so are you telling Kansas fans it's time to panic? Or, two of these losses are on final possessions. Yeah?
True.
And it's not time to panic, but it's time to reshuffle. Yes, they do, because last year they won close games because they were a veteran team, but it's time to reshuffle the lineup. I wouldn't want to wait any longer on that. I think you can take the training wheels off Micah Downs right now.
Maybe put him back on Julian Wright after last night.
I think so. And when Darnell comes back and gives you depth in the front court, you wonder, is that the time to maybe look at whether Julian can play three?
Yeah, and that'll help him. Because I think once maybe. Darnell comes back, well, yeah, I mean, it won't hurt. He's just he's too thin to play down there.
And
there's too
he's
many guys.
Rushing his shots.
And
to
he gets
the point
down
where
there, and he knows the big guys are coming, and he's not comfortable.
He's
like the shot, that he put up last night.
Wrong side of the backboard,
didn't
that end up?
Yes, it was. He banked it on the open side, which was bad. And then his defense, we watched one of the replays. He was guarding, who was it? It was one of the big guys. I don't know if
Bell?
It was. I don't know if he guarded Chad Bell really last night. I don't remember which one it was, but whoever it was started down on the block and did just a simple V, ran to the top of the circle, act like he faked taking the pass, then just ran down the lane, just flew right by. Julian just kind of walked up with him, and then he flew by, got the pass, the guy dunked it. And that was it. He was gone, and Coach Self took him out. That was that wasn't the offense that had him yanked out of the game.
Well, how many times did Fizikas have wide open looks and similar moves as that last night?
He took 21 shots and made 13, so I'm going to say 13 of them. But how many of those were on offensive rebounds? He only had two official offensive rebounds, but he scored on both of them because it seemed like a lot more because they were down the stretch, and it was because you always hear it's because of the zone because you don't have a body to box anybody out, and you got to find that guy though. He was 13 of 21 from the field. The rest of Nevada, 11 of 37. Let anybody shoot the basketball that you want. Don't let him shoot it, and KU did.
Well, you want to do combined shooting stats. How about giving us Russell Robinson and Jeff Hawkins, the starting backcourt, their combined stats?
That would be 4 for 16, 15, 4 for 15, and 0 for 4 from long range.
Right. Not very good.
No. Poor for shooting guards.
I don't think that you can continue with that starting backcourt, do you?
I think Jeff Hawkins' days are numbered. I think it's Mario started that first exhibition game. Hasn't started since, but he will. I think we talked about that before, and we all are in agreement of that. Hopefully the toe's fine. It just hurt him last night. But maybe he starts on tomorrow, on Saturday.
You know when our maybe doesn't play? When the conference season starts, you'd like to think that by then these guys would have buffed up their games enough that the starting five is going to be Mario Chalmers, Brandon Rush, Micah Downs, CJ Giles, and Sasha Khan.
That's the most balanced five you can have, so that you have a point guard that can distribute and can get to the hole and score. Jeff Hawkins, once he gets down there, he can't lay it in. He's too short. Mario can.
Oh,
how
about the coast-to-coast last night?
That was fantastic.
Was he a blur on that or what?
That was fantastic, and he's a guy that can get there. Jeff is quick enough, but he's too small once he gets inside.
Can't finish.
Mario can. You got to have a shooter. Well, it's not Russell Robinson right now, so who is it? It's Micah Downs. So you get him in the game. And I think we need to pay attention to him. Your article, I think, was right on. We talked about it last night. I think last night's three in the closing minutes is the one that's going to set him on fire. I think tomorrow, if he gets some minutes, he's going to shoot the ball much better.
Forget about minutes. Start him. Start him, and then he'll get the minutes.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, enough. Let's get on with it.
Speaking of moving on, let's go to another topic. How about Nick Reed getting honored Defensive Player of
the
Year?
Awesome. Congratulations to the guy. You know, he deserves it. He was recorded as a quarterback.
Right, number 7.
And after watching KU play quarterback this year, I kind of wish he'd played a
little bit. Were times where I was so desperate. You're saying, you know, Nick Reed is such a winner.
Yeah.
Or Charles Gordon, such a winner. You put either one of these guys behind center. That's how desperate it got quarterback-wise for the Jayhawks. Yet we're talking about a team that's going to a bowl game. This is a heck of a reversal. There's no way. I thought when they were winless in the Big 12, there's no way I thought they would finish 6-5. For the year, I picked 6-5. But at that point in the season, did you think this was a bowl-bound team?
Absolutely not. Before the year, I think I would have picked maybe 3, maybe 4 wins.
After the back-to-back Kansas State-Oklahoma, how could you think that they're even going to score again?
Another touchdown was out of the question, much less a victory. Agreed. But
I mean, at that point, that had to be how are they going to do it?
Yeah. I mean – And
congrats, though, to Nick Reed, because he's had a great season. And, you know, they got 8th place in the conference. 8th place. And he is the Defensive Player of the Year. And I think it worked out for him in a couple situations. KU got the bad South draw, right? So they had to play instead of the 4-5-6 teams in the South, like Iowa State had. Kansas may have won the North if they'd had Iowa State schedule. Instead, they had UT, Texas, Oklahoma, and a Texas Tech. So you get that draw. But because you get that draw, those three coaches – which obviously carry more weight than the other three, get to see Nick Reed play. So
but they each
voting,
get a vote. True. I mean, they don't carry more weight in that way.
True. But those guys, ordinarily, I don't think, would have voted for a team in 8th place. The teams right. that are stinky at the bottom, they're right. a little more lenient for voting for those things. You get what I'm saying here?
Yeah. You know, Nick Reed, it was funny. Early in the year, I kept saying to him, that you're fast. And he'd say, no, no, I'm just a slow white guy. Don't give me that. And then you see him intercept a pass, and he looked slow. But when he's running after someone who's got the football, he is fast. There's something that happens to this guy.
It's fast, but it's an instinct thing too. He knows the angles. He knows how to right. get around guys. Nobody gets in his way. He finds the quickest way to get there and gets there without, you know, fast
like
guys.
Like Dennis Rodman rebounding.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, some guys just have a knack to getting to the ball, and he's certainly got that. And I hope he remembers us guys back here in Lawrence when he's rich and famous in the next couple of years making a lot of money in the NFL.
But, well, now, where do you think he gets drafted?
I don't know. You know, the combines mean so much in those things because they always take your 40 times.
He's undersized.
But, you know, he kind of reminds me of a Dat Wynn, guy that went to Texas A&M, was a star linebacker down there. A lot of people passed on him because of his size, but then he goes to the Cowboys and has been a starter for years, and his career sadly may be over because of injury now. But
that's a pretty good call.
He reminds me of kind of like that kind of guy, kind of an underappreciated guy, but, man, once you get him on the field, he's the kind of guy you want on
your
team.
Then Charlton Keith, you look at him, undersized for
defensive
lineman.
He'll
be an outside linebacker, right?
I think he'll get drafted ahead
of Nick Reed.
Of Nick Reed.
As an outside linebacker?
Because of his size.
On a 3-14?
Mm-hmm. Something where he can utilize his speed around the edge. Just simply because of his size at, what, 6'7"?
What a year he had.
He's a giant.
So kind of maybe like the K-State linebacker Josh Buell a couple years ago?
Similar kind of deal, yeah.
Just a little undersized to fall a little bit farther down. Well, how about the bowl predictions? It looks like Sunday, a lot of people are speculating that it's going to be the Fort Worth Bowl. That seems the most logical.
It better be. I already made my plane reservation.
You did? What are you flying on?
Southwest. They had great deals.
Oh, you went ahead and took the Wright Amendment plan, huh?
Yeah, the new law passed.
Yeah, in Missouri. The old Wright Amendment down there, which was trying to get all the airlines to DFW from Love Field back when DFW was built 30 years ago, and they got to finally get rid of that so that all airlines can fly straight to Love Field. That's the start, at least the start from Missouri, so they annexed that one.
Now, am I going to be able to rent a car at Love Field?
You're 25, right?
Yeah, at least. A couple times.
Oh, that's not the reason you can't rent a car. Yeah, Love Field is not DFW, but it's a full
civilization.
Service. It's kind of like Midway.
Okay.
Saying it's where Southwest flies into. Small airports. Fort Worth Bowl, yeah. Is that what we got started on?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Great topic keepers, here we are. It looks like the Fort Worth Bowl, although the Fort Worth Bowl doesn't get to choose. They're just kind of the last one of the group.
You know, 20 years ago, I was covering the Freedom Bowl for the Orange County Register, and the director of the Freedom Bowl then was Tom Starr, who is now the director of the Fort Worth Bowl. Well, we're in line at some hamburger joint, imagine that. And I start interviewing him as we're in line at one of these buffet-style hamburger joints.
Imagine that, Keegan, buffet-style hamburger joint.
And he says to me, Tom, this is the second year of the Freedom Bowl. He goes, the nice thing about it being in the second year is the first year it was Freedom who, freedom what. I had to describe from scratch who we were, what we were about. Now that everyone knows we're here in our second year, I don't have to describe that, and you can get in the door a lot easier. So the kid from behind the buffet line there, the worker, says, hey, what are you guys doing here? And Tom says, nothing. Tom is here from the Register. He's interviewing me. I'm the director of the Freedom Bowl. And he goes, never mind. I thought you guys were talking about sports.
Good story.
All right, well, that'll do it for another episode.
That's it?
Well, unless you got something else.
I'm kidding. I've got a women's game I've got to get to.
All right, that's Kevin Ryan.
Makes one of us.
From Channel 6 and Tom Keegan, the Journal World Sports Editor. Sorry about that. And me, I'm Andy Samuelson from KU Sports Online.
What are you
going
to call him?
Reporter.
Well, he reports,
that's right
too.
That's how you do that. You got to report in this business. That's what it's all about, reporting.
He's a five-tool prospect out there.
Five-tool.
Aging five-tool prospect.
All right, thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week.